Welcome to Chai with Sam Dosa. This podcast is now available on iTunes, Spotify, and all the renowned podcast platforms. So if you still haven't dived into my podcast, please do come in and listen to our amazing guests who share their amazing wisdom and stories, which is a heart-centered conversation with my guests. Today, we have another amazing guest today, and she is all the way from Carolina, USA. Her name is Faye, and let me just give you a brief. I will not go into a detail. Faye Fulton, and she is a CEO and CSO, Chief Storytelling Officer of a boutique consulting firm specializing in a particular area of communication. Business storytelling. That's where we're going to dive into. So, Faye, welcome to my podcast, Chai with Sam Dosa.
Thank you so much for inviting me on, Sam. I'm delighted to be here.
Amazing. That's great. So, tell us about who Faye is and what's her purpose, because this is quite a big question. And I had a bit of a conversation with you, and you did tell me about a brilliant adventures you've been through. So let's listen from you, please.
Well, I think it truly is a big question. What is your purpose? Why are you here on this journey? And, you know, with age comes wisdom. And I really think for me, for my journey now at this point, I have come full circle. And it's such an incredible feeling. I've been very blessed to be able to work in a field that I'm very passionate about. So my area of expertise is communication. And over the last 5 years, I have niched. So the only type of communication I deal with today is business storytelling. As you shared. But my love of story started when I was very, very young. I had an amazing childhood, and I would not change my childhood with any other person's. Before I was 6 years old, my father received a huge promotion. He was a corporate bigwig, and we moved to Italy. So I grew up in Italy. I was surrounded by people from all different countries, all different cultures, all different languages, and I was in heaven. I loved it. I was fascinated. And in Italy, I had the great fortune of growing up with two families. I had, of course, my American family. Now, also, you've got to remember that the Italy back then is not the Italy of today, because back then there were very, very, very few Americans living in Italy. We were an enigma, and none of the Italians spoke English. We had to learn their language. So I was just thrown right into this, and I was just fascinated. But as I was saying, I had two families, my American family, and I come from a family of three girls. I'm the ham in the sandwich. So I've always had great negotiation skills, and that's one of the reasons. But my American family was just real American. And what I mean by that is they were not touchy-feely. They didn't talk about feelings. I can't ever remember being hugged by my parents. And that's what I needed. I craved that. But also, I was a very curious child. I'm still very curious. And when I asked a question, I truly wanted to know the answer. I was trying to learn the world around me. And the answer my parents always gave me was, because I said so. So it was just so unsatisfactory. And the other thing is my parents talked at me, not with me. You know, they would say, you know what time dinner is, be home. We're leaving tomorrow early, be ready. Have you done your home? Yeah. So I was just so, I needed so much more. But thank heavens I had my other family. I think she was just waiting for me because it was just one woman. She was a famous European opera singer. When I met her, she was retired, and she was also a contessa. Well, when she retired, she acquired that disease called agoraphobia, where you cannot leave your home. So she couldn't go outside. But she was very often on her balcony. Now, we lived in a high-rise apartment buildings. Most people in European cities do. We were on the top floor, but she was on the third floor. And she had all of her groceries, all of her things delivered by lowering down a basket. And I was fascinated by this. Anyway, she called me up. She knew I was the only American girl in the neighborhood because I was always outside. My sisters were always inside playing with dolls. I was a big tomboy. And she wanted to meet me. And then we just developed an incredibly very close, very special relationship. She never had children of her own, but she treated me like I was her daughter. And because she never left her apartment, her friends came to see her. I mean, she was famous. Well, all of her friends were famous performers, musicians, dancers, choreographers, singers. So I had this wealth of these amazing people from all different countries, like I said, speaking all different languages. And these people were amazing storytellers. So what an incredible childhood. I mean, it was right there in my lap. But the Contessa, she's the person who taught me about life. She taught me how to cook. She taught me about music, about fashion, about architecture. She was amazing. And it was just, like I said, I wouldn't trade it. I still miss her to this day. She's amazing. I've never met anyone else like her. So it was absolutely spectacular. And that's how I got so interested in storytelling. But I heard stories from all over the world, religions I had no idea about, but I was learning. And today I speak three languages. You know, I'm just fascinated by culture. I'm fascinated by people. And I've always worked in an incredibly diverse environment. I can't imagine a world in any other way. You know, many of my friends were from Africa. We lived right across the Mediterranean Ocean from Africa. How incredible to be exposed to all of that.
You're back.
Sorry. I don't know. So yes, I work as a keynote speaker, but I also work one-on-one as a consultant. Most of my clients are CEOs, vice presidents. They might be a director of a fundraising group. And their team has told them that they need a business story. And I love what I do because my job also involves a lot of education. Most of these CEOs, you know, they might have an MBA. They know how to run a business. But that's where I can help because they don't have good communication skills and they don't know anything about story. So we start working together and they usually say, you know, story, I don't want to give a story. I've got to make this presentation to my investors, but I want to share my facts, my figures, my numbers. Story is nothing but fluff. So I love that. Right out of the gate, I start educating them. And, you know, one of the things I say is your story is actually much more important than the data you want to share, because data can only be understood in context. If you don't give your audience, your listeners, context, it will make absolutely no sense, and there's no possible way they'll remember it. So, the light bulb starts to go off, and they're like, oh, like, you remember, you're communicating with people. You know, these are not robots that just want to take in data and numbers and start crunching. You're going to have to communicate with people. So I love the journey and I love being able to educate people about this incredible communication tool called business storytelling.
So that's one thing in earlier discussion when you said that you had a very amazing childhood. And it relates to this movie. You must have watched it. It's called Matilda. Have you watched the movie Matilda?
So it's been a while.
But does it resonate with you somewhere? Because she was being neglected by the parents, and then say, you know what? You do what we should tell you. You do not question us. You are this many years old, and she always remind them, "I'm ready to go to school," but you don't know whether I'm ready to go to school. So I think there are some similarity where your childhood become when you were very curious about searching something and you have been given this opportunity to connect. And she connected in the movie and the library where she started reading a lot of books and she started knowing a lot of things happening. And you must have created some charisma in yourself or some sort of you found out there is a magic within you which connects with people.
Well, I think if you don't get what you need at home, you go out and you search for it.
Yeah.
And you will find it. And I don't want to give the impression that my parents were neglecting me. I love my parents. They just were not giving me what I needed, what I craved. And, you know, hindsight, looking back as an adult, I think they did the best they could. But my mother was not one of these tender, loving, giving mothers. You know, the kind of person you think is a mother. She just didn't have that in her. And that's what I needed. But I found it. I found it. And boy, did I hang on to it. When my father, 12 years later, got another incredible promotion, and we moved to Trinidad, you know, an incredibly different culture, different part of the world. The only reason I didn't want to go was because I did not want to leave the Contessa. You know, and I was thinking, how am I going to make it without her? But before I ever stepped foot on Trinidadian soil, I saw my next mentor. He was just waiting for me right there. And it was amazing. Completely different from the Contessa. And by then I was 16 years old and I still needed a mentor. And he did the same thing. He had a family of 7 children. He treated me like I was another one of his daughters. And I could not have survived Trinidad without him. Just amazing. And after that, I left Trinidad and I started my first degree I got at the University of Texas at Austin. And there were no mentors there. That was a really hard transition for me. But anyway, yes, I think everyone needs mentors. And now I have had the great pleasure of being a mentor for about 30 years. And I just think, especially a child, I think it is very important for children to have more than one opinion or one point of view other than their parents. I think that is exceedingly important. So I am a mentor and I truly believe in them.
I think mentorship is very important. And we who have mentors, who receive mentorship, they do excel in their life. In their life journey becomes more subtle in terms of different areas of their life. I was lucky to be surrounded by educated and good people around me who mentored me in different areas of my life, not in my careers, but in other areas of my life as well, like how to be a man or how to be looking at different areas or different aspects of your life as well. So that gives us that tenacity to find and balance out a lot of things. Now, where I'm standing right now, when I'm doing mentorship to a lot of people in my area of expertise or in my areas where people come in and ask me certain degree of questions, I take them to the same journey of giving them the space to be acknowledged, give them space so they can be who they want to be. It's not about pushing them to go into that sort of a lane where they will say, okay, that's where my journey is going to be. Even I'm father of 5 children, and I can completely resonate not to tell my daughters. I'm 5 daughters. So I can't tell them what to do. I say, it's entirely your choice. Entirely your choice.
That is so important too, because they have to think on their own and make their own decision. And that is so valuable. It's a gift you give them. It's like, you're not going to wait for me for an answer. You need to figure this out, but let's talk about it. What are the pros and it's so important. Important.
My daughter is 20 years old. She's in her second year in medical college or medical university. And because I'm a divorcee, I got 3 children. Now I've got a new wife and we got 2 stepdaughters. So we have 5 daughters. And my previous wife does not sometimes not stand by her. And that's where the hurtful things happen, you know. And I said, I'm standing by you because I can understand you are in that age group where you're going to make a lot of decisions which are not going to be right.
But sure,
I'm going to stand by you, but I can tell you what are going to be the consequences. So this is your choice to select those consequences, because end of the day, I'm not going to be the one who is receiving those consequences. You are the one who is going to receive the consequences. But me will be to stand by you, saying this is what you can see. This is black and white. this is what the consequences you're going to face. It's entirely your choice. You decide.
Yep. Yep. It's just so important to have those mentors. So again, so my full circle that I mentioned early on, I started out with story, and now that is all I do for my career. Business storytelling. So it's been a wonderful journey, but my whole life, I think, was leading up to this. Because to be a good storyteller, it takes a very large number of skills. You can't just be a good writer. You're going to have to come up with your story, craft it. If you're a good writer, but you can't tell the story, you are absolutely going to bomb, you know, and there are just so many skills. So it's, and all those skills have to be learned. You're not going to change overnight, but I love introducing people to story. And it's very unfortunate. And what I mean is over the last 7 years, the words story and storytelling, they have become buzzwords in business. Every person is talking about story and storytelling. And most people have no idea what a story actually is. Story is being talked about, but it's not being used correctly. It's not being used impactfully. And I understand the confusion. Most people I meet are thoroughly confused with story. And I think the confusion is we feel very close to story. You know, we think back, when you hear the word story, most people think back to their childhood. Their parents would read them a story every night before they fell asleep. So we think we understand story until we try to write a story. And then my clients are like completely overwhelmed. Oh my, I don't even know whose voice I need to tell this story in. You know, there's so many components. But to me, I'm amazed today what people are calling story. And that's what's happening. Most people don't have anything near a story, but they're simply calling it a story. Well, then they don't get the results they expect. How could they? They're not even working with story. So when I start my keynote speaking, you know, I speak at conferences today because of all the confusion, I start by sharing with people what story is not. So there's that educational component. You know, we've got to be sure. I need to be sure every person in the room understands what story actually is. Because so many people, like I said, they just simply call it story. All right, Sam, what if I shared this with you? What if I shared, she put on her crimson red lipstick, stepped into her black stiletto heels, selected the perfect hat for the occasion, strapped the kids into the backseat of the car, and drove off toward downtown. Now, when I was sharing that with you, you weren't just simply sitting there listening. This is one of the most powerful things about story. You are creating an image of that woman inside of your head. So one of the reasons storytelling is so powerful is stories are co-created. And your image in your head will never match on my image. You are a co-creator. So when you were listening to that, what kind of hat did you envision on that woman's head?
I suppose like you are going into a racing horse racing or something like that, where you have this hat which is majority of the woman goes and wear it during the derby or sort of horse racing when they go.
Okay.
So it's like a big sort of a hat wearing with a great sort of a nice dress with a pearl necklace and something like that. So I was imagining that. And when you mentioned about the kids strapped up, then my vision started to ponder upon where she must be going to a house party then.
Well, actually, no. The woman I was speaking about was going downtown to show her children the Christmas decorations. She was wearing a Christmas hat. But I want to be perfectly clear for you, for all of your listeners. What I shared with you then is not story. That doesn't come anywhere near story. It could become story, but it will take a heck of a lot of work. What I shared with you was simply a series of events, and that is not story. So that's the part of the confusion. And when I give a keynote speech, when I work one-on-one, I will ask the whole room or that person, please give me your definition of story. And invariably the definition I get is story. Story has a beginning, a middle, and an end. Well, yes, it does, but that doesn't give us any information about story. And even a cockroach and Thanksgiving dinner has a beginning, a middle, and an end. People just, they can't even express it. So we have to get really serious and understand what story is.
I think there are a lot of element of stories. As you mentioned, stories can be codependent on a lot of other things as well, because it's not only one character. Character within character, there is another character. And how you are going to bring that character to the scene is what I call it a way of showcasing yourself in front of a lot of people, showcasing your business, and defining it in a crystal clear way to the audience. As you are the expert in business storytelling, would you define a definition of business storytelling for us?
Yes, I definitely have one to share. And we need to make that distinction also, Sam. Mm-hmm. You know, this is business storytelling. It is exceedingly different than telling a story for entertainment purposes. Now, I do that too. You know, story is my passion. But business storytelling, first, you're going to have to be strategic. But the definition I share with my business storytelling clients is storytelling is the intersection of your writing skills and your telling skills. Both skills are essential, but the magic happens when you are an expert at combining both of those skills. So it's going to take a whole lot. And today, if you're going to get up in front of a group of people and share a story, it will have to be an unforgettable story. And you're going to have to captivate your audience. It's very difficult to do. Captivate those people and take them on that journey with you from the moment you begin to your last word. There, you know, not all story is created equal. And there's a huge difference between a story, a good story, and a great story. And I always assume when my clients come to me and say, I need a story, that they're interested in a great, unforgettable story. Now, business storytelling is an incredible communication tool. But that's another mistake most people are out there making, because the marketing industry latched onto story and they're trying to use story to sell. And that is not the way to utilize story. And of course, that's the old work environment. Nobody wants to be sold to today. Today, we do business with people we like, know, and trust.
Yep.
And that's another reason business storytelling is so powerful, if you know how to use it. Because with the business story, you're going to be able to start a relationship, form a connection. But you don't use it to sell. And that's what most people are out there doing. But, you know, it's a buzzword. And I'll be dealing with story well after it's no longer a buzzword. I've been dealing with story for 30 years. So I'm out there.
There is an element within the story is missing is the emotional intelligence, which is the key character, a vital component where we are completely forgetting. I'm listening or I'm watching an ad on different channels, and the only ad connects which is emotionally entangled with yourself. So when you are listening or when you're watching something, you say, there is something resonating with me. This is something which I connect with me. And it's about how you lay this out to your audience. That's the magic which you, as an expert in your field of expertise, you bring that element in. Because emotional intelligence part of my expertise where I bring in people to understand that emotional intelligence is key factor for you to connect with people.
Yes.
Because if you are not connecting with people on emotional basis, then you are not connecting. Verbal communication or written communication will have a little impact on it. But if you are emotionally connecting with somebody, that will be rest of their life. You will connect with them and anchor it so strongly that whenever that thing triggers them and they remember you, that you are the one who were connected together on that basis. So this is quite vital, correct?
Oh, it's essential. You are so correct. And that is one of the key components of story. Story contains emotion. But Sam, at the same time, you know, these people are just throwing around the word story. They do not understand it. Most people hear emotion and they go completely overboard. So in their business story, they tell a story about when they were raped on a college campus, when their mother tried to commit suicide. And that is not the kind of emotion to bring into the workplace. They go completely overboard. You never want anyone you're dealing with to feel sorry for you, to feel like you're broken. But people hear the word emotion and they just, oh, okay, I'm going to get these people to tear up and cry. That is not it at all. Now, that might be something you want to do if you're telling a story to entertain. But that is not what we do in the business world. So yeah, that's another area. Story has to include emotion, or it's not a story. That's one of the components.
Yeah, but sometimes what happens is when you are sharing your vulnerability, a lot of people do connect with you on sort of that sort of a level of vulnerability. And that's, again, when you say when we are in sort of a area of business element, you have to be understanding that not those vulnerability can grasp attention of a lot of people. It might trigger them as well something which will affect them later on. Listening to your story, even though they will come to you and say you are so brave to discuss this, or you are so brave that you have actually shared that story, I completely understand where you, what you're going to. Because one of the person which I connect with, he always shared story about his upbringing as a Christian and Orthodox Christian, and the way he was being treated by his mother and father and the community and everything. And he always used the same story. And people do connect with him. Now, my question comes here is that is a repetition of the same story. Yeah, I understand. I was being molested when I was young. Okay, I do not bring that because you need to know who your audience is, correct?
Oh, absolutely.
That's the key factor. If you are going to be talking about your childhood story, people will think, what does this relate to my business, or what does this relate to this conference?
Right? Absolutely.
So this is where I feel like, okay, you share your story. That's where you said there is a misconception of people sharing stories. And they're saying that, oh, I have a story. I say, okay, what's your story? Oh, I have a story of my mom did a suicide. Yeah. So I'm going to bring that story so people will see, get so much connected with me, and they will come back and say, oh, Sam, oh, you are so brave to share that story. So there's a misconception, correct?
It is definitely correct, because it's totally inappropriate to tell that kind of story in a business environment. Mm-hmm. And that's not working with story strategically. And your friend who tells the same story over and over and over, big mistake. These people are bored with that story. Now, you cannot do that and achieve results. So yes, you're going to need to have a lot of different types of stories. There are five types of stories mm-hmm. business professionals need to be telling in the workplace. But telling the same story over and over, big mistake. Because mm-hmm. you're going to do nothing but bore those people.
True.
Of course, the best time to hear a story is the first time.
Yeah, I think that's where you need to create an impact. So when you talk about those five elements, so can you give us about a couple of them, see whether how they can scale out in the story alignment?
I will be happy to share them. Yeah, there are five types of stories professionals need to be sharing in the workplace. So the first type of story is what I call an origin story. Now, the origin story is the origin of your business or your career. Why did you choose to work in that industry or choose that kind of career? So this type of story, you're going to be working with that to persuade your listeners that your organization or you as a professional are worth investing in, are worth dealing with. So the origin story. Another type of story professionals need to be telling is what is called a beginning story. Now, what I mean by a beginning story is your childhood stories, the lessons you learned while growing up, because all those lessons you learned in childhood have made you the person you are today. So people want to know what type of person you are. This is going back to developing connection, a relationship. Are you an honest person? Are you trustworthy? Will you follow through with what you promise you'll do? So you might tell a story about being 9 years old and you used to play baseball with your older brother. And one day you're out in the field and your brother hits the baseball and it flies over and breaks the neighbor's window. All of the other players leave the field. You are the only person who picks up the baseball, goes to that neighbor and says, "I'm so sorry. We broke your window. I'm going to replace it." That tells you what kind of person you are. So that's what we mean by beginning story, those life lessons. Another type of story to tell are inspiring stories. Very often, a leader needs to inspire their team. And in today's workplace, people want to know that they're a part of something bigger than themselves and that what they do has meaning. They bring value to the team. So inspiring stories could not be more important. Another type of story is the value story. And what I mean by value is these are stories that you're going to tell about your product or your service. But as I mentioned earlier, you do not use business stories to sell. So you're not going to be telling a story about how great your perfume is, where you got the ingredients, how it's superior to all the other perfumes. No. What we mean by a value story, you're going to tell a story of a person whose life was changed or impacted by your product or your service. It's not about the product. It's about what that product did to change that person, the value of the product. And the last kind, the fifth type of story professionals need to be telling in today's workplace is a customer story. So these are stories that you don't tell. These are stories your customer tells. Again, it's not a testimonial saying how fabulous this washing powder is. I love the color. No, it's a story that person tells about how your product or your service helped them or changed their life, brought value to them. And so these are the five types of stories for the business environment.
That's quite an amazing way of showcasing your strengths and showing that how committed you are to your team, to your client, to people who you are sharing your story. You are showing that you are authentic. And that's another area which needs to be added to your story, authenticity. Because a lot of time, I remember when I spent about £2,500 for attending this seminar for 3 days where they were teaching us how to be a public speaker. And the guy who was there, who was teaching us, he said, "You know, if you don't have a story, make it up."
Oh, no.
Make it up. I
refuse to work with anyone who is not going to tell a true story.
I was completely blown away that how could you publicly saying in front of about 300 people, "Oh, if you don't have a story, make it up."
No.
Don't worry about
it. Oh my gosh, Sam, I'm so upset that person did that. Yeah. No.
And I was completely blown away with that. And that's why I could not conceive the entire 3 days properly. But again, you know, that was a journey, that was an experience. So I can tell other people that it's not about an authenticity, it's about authenticity, to share your authenticity to people so people can connect with you. And you know, we are all humans. We make mistakes. If we are not going to make mistakes, who is going to make the mistakes? If you're not going to learn from your mistake, who is going to learn? Yeah. Absolutely, I'm learning from all my adventures I had for last 50 years. And that was the pinnacle of my success where I'm standing right now. Yeah, and that's what I said to a lot of my clients as well. You know what? Be honest about it. show your authenticity, and stand and raise your hand if you made a mistake. We are all humans.
And there's always a lesson to learn from the mistake.
Absolutely.
It's part of the journey. So it's not a waste. There are so many lessons we need to learn, and some are a lot harder to learn than others. But yes, it's all valuable. But a person who comes to business and tells a story that is not true, that they make up, I don't even understand what they're trying to accomplish. And like I said, I will refuse to work with anyone. That's it. I will not do that. But what we just talked about, the different types of stories, mm-hmm. that's the value. People need to know you like you trust you. So if you're telling something that's not true, I don't even understand, why would you do that? So that's not even the person you are. So that, it's just incredulous to me, but I know that it happens.
It happens. And it happens in a very big way of, you know, a hypnotic way where people are using hypnosis on you to mesmerize you in the environment. And not only I myself experienced, I have spoken to so many other people as well about the same sort of a person, and everybody's actually said, there is some sort of a saint in the room, a perfume in the room. There is some sort of things going on, the music and everything. So people get mesmerized with sort of things in the way he communicate, or the subliminal languages he's using, the NLP language he's using. So he get people to jump up, start going to the back and sign up for 2,000 package, 3,000 package, 5,000 mm-hmm. package. And they have a cooling period of 8 days. By the time you recover from that cooling, that period of high energy, realizing that you spent $8,000 on something which you really don't need.
Yeah.
And people are being stung by that sort of things. And I tell them, you know, how could you sleep in the night?
Exactly. How do you live with yourself? Yeah. It's a total misrepresentation.
Yeah.
And that's another way that people get very, very confused. And what I mean is, when I start working with business story, so many people say, I don't have any stories. I'm not a very interesting person. I haven't led an interesting life. I don't have any stories. Well, of course you do. But you're so close to it that it doesn't seem like a story. It's just your life. So very often, I have to start going through exercises that I have mm-hmm. to bring their stories to the forefront of their memory. It's like, of course you have stories. But that again is what you're talking about. We're not going to say anything that's false or didn't happen. But very often we spend a lot of time finding a story, because you're not going to get up and tell a story that will bore people. You know, again, you need an unforgettable story. And it doesn't have to be anything huge and big, like you met a contessa, whatever. It doesn't have to be big. Because there are so many great lessons in those little tiny things that happen every day. But you're not thinking it's story. But yeah, we all have stories. Yeah. But then you're going to have to really know what you're doing and work hard to make it a story worth repeating. I mean, how many times have you been in someone's presence and you're like, so boring. Why is he even telling this? This is so boring. You know, and you're scrolling through your phone.
Yeah, you started yawning and you started going for sort of a nap. For a nap, actually, you just literally go for a nap. You look like it. He's actually telling me sort of a lullaby for me to go to sleep.
But then you think, what is the point? He just wasted our time, you know. Yeah. So yeah, exactly.
I think your area of expertise, which is communication and telling stories, is quite a vital area where people can really find some great results. So tell my audience how they can connect, and is there any special area? Is business story is one of the special area where you help a lot of people, but is there anything else which you can offer to the audience?
Well, like I said, over the last 5 years, I've niched my career. Mm-hmm. So for me, I am simply working with business storytelling. Mm-hmm. That is my niche. That's my area of expertise. And that's when people bring me in. You know, I also conduct training. So people will bring me into their corporation to train their whole team on story. But that's all I do these days, Sam, not in the past. So as a keynote speaker, I only talk about business storytelling. As a consultant and then working at training teams, it's only business storytelling. And I love where I'm at. I love being that specialized. And you really can go deep. You know what you're talking about.
That's amazing. That's amazing. So tell us about your love of food, if you have any.
Oh, gosh. Well, because I grew up in Italy.
I forgot that you grew up in Italy.
That's yes. I still eat the Mediterranean diet. I eat very healthy, very good for you, real food. You will never see me in a fast food place. I don't even consider that real food. But I'm very Italian in that way. And my food has to be fresh. And I make a lot of things from scratch. I'm a big bread maker, so I'm always making bread.
Okay.
Real bread with a great crust on it. And that's something that I really miss, because here in this country, it's hard to find a good bakery. And you know, in Italy, there was a bakery on every corner.
Every corner, yeah.
Oh, God. And you got fresh bread every day from the bakery. Well, now I get fresh bread, but I make it myself, you know. So, yes, I do have a love of food. And what I always say when anyone comes into my home, no garlic weenies, because you're going to be having garlic. So you need to like garlic.
Absolutely.
And, but yeah, really, I love my pasta. I love my wine. Not that I drink excessively.
So what sort of wine? Are you a red wine or a white wine?
I am a red wine drinker. And okay. My favorite wine is hard to find here. It's Sangiovese.
Okay.
That is my favorite wine. So I always look for it on menus, but I rarely find it.
That's okay. Red wine is quite mature. I remember my time when I used to drink. I always go into depth of wine because I remember meeting this one guy who used to work in the vineyard. And he told me, you know, Sam, you know, to get the real wine and know the real wine, you need to see the hole underneath the bottle. The deeper the hole, the mature the wine will be. Because if it is flat, it means it's been poured in the country, because it's got a cellar. They will put it in the drums and they will bring it over here in the country and they put it in the bottle. But if you really enjoy wine, one is the Shiraz, which is the white wine. Mm-hmm. You know, my wife likes it. And the red wine. And I used to enjoy red wine very much. I have now finished drinking for the last 10 years now. So I'm not craving for those sort of things. So it's all good for me. But it's good to have a conversation with people when we talk about wine and the hard drinks like vodka and Jack Daniels. And then we talk about the lagers and everything. By the way, I'm from Pakistan, but living in this country for the last 24 years, you have to integrate with the society, with the culture and everything. And
yes.
That's the best part for a outsider to jump in and trying to mingle, to connect. And that's how you create a lot of long-term relationship with people. You can't just say, oh, I'm going to sit in this corner because I'm avoiding those sort of things.
Oh, yeah. That's a mistake. Yeah. Yeah,
absolutely.
That would definitely be a mistake.
So,
but that's the beauty of it. You're exposed to a whole new culture. It's fascinating. Tell me about it. You know, you might not ever make the choices they made, but I still want to know what motivates you. It's fascinating. Yeah.
Indeed. Tell us about your hobbies.
I am a walker.
Okay.
I have walked every day, except for bad weather days,
mm-hmm.
for 35 years. And
wow.
That number makes me feel old. But I decided way back then that I had to have something that I would stick with. And again, just being healthy, eating good food, I wanted something. And I started walking when everyone else started jogging. You know, do you remember when jogging? Everybody was jogging. Even back then, my knees would hurt when I came back from jogging. And I thought, I can't do this. I can't be injuring my knees. And because they were painful, I knew that there was something wrong.
Mm-hmm.
But I walk between an hour to an hour and a half every day. And it's one of those things that if I don't get my walk, my body misses it. My body, I feel like there's something horribly off. Now, yesterday, I was so fortunate. I had several friends come over from Charlotte, and we went up into North Carolina mountains, and we went on a hike yesterday. So yesterday was a real treat for me. But yeah, I love doing that. And every single day when I just get out there and I start walking, I say to myself, this just feels so good. My body just feels so good when I'm moving like that. And I'm out there for exercise. I call it walking just under a trot. So when a friend says, I want to walk with you, I have to slow way down. So it doesn't seem like exercise that day. But I'm very happy to walk with other people. But I'm out there and I'm moving. But yeah. I mean, I've been doing it so long. My body just has that rhythm.
Yeah, you've got cravings now for your body to just say, come on, Faye, move out from the house. Exactly. Don't sit in the house. You have to move out. So tell us, my audience, about your love to any other things like movies or anything with you, or books, if you read a lot of books.
Well, I do both. Movies, that's story. Mm-hmm. That is story. So I love movies. I love the old movies. What I'm so interested in, and the only type of stories that I write and tell, are stories about the human journey, the human condition. So I'm not into sci-fi, I'm not a Trekkie, I'm not into anything that is not real. I want to hear about real people, their real struggle, and what did they do to overcome it. So that's the kind of movie I like. Horror movie, I don't understand people enjoying horror movies. That's just zombies, I'm just so uninterested. Tell me something real. So that's the kind of story that I love, and that's the kind of story that I write. A few moments ago, I was telling you that I also work with stories for sheer entertainment purposes, and I only tell stories I write myself. So I go to story competitions. You know, they're called story slams. Mm-hmm. So right now, I'm the 2020 Carl Sandburg Story Slam winner.
Wow,
and that was a big thrill. And I'm not sure if you or your listeners know The Moth, the podcast called The Moth.
Okay.
It's a really big deal. It's all about stories. Mm-hmm. And I am The Moth story champion. So I love getting up and telling those kind of stories, but I do that for myself. You know, when I'm working with business stories, that's for a client, that's my career. But I also love the other kind of stories. And I am a published author. I wrote a book about stories. Mm-hmm. And the book is all about stories of my childhood growing up in Italy. So I grew up in the mafia capital of the world, Palermo, Sicily. That was my stomping grounds. And my book is called Sicilian Stories, Living Just Off the Toe of Italy's Boot.
Wow.
And in that book, I do have a mafia story. When I was growing up, I was almost killed three times because of the mafia. And again, the Italy of today is not the Italy of back then. Back then, the mafia was in our face. They were everywhere.
Yes.
But I do have a mafia story in there, in my book.
Amazing. So what I'm going to do is I'm going to collect everything what you have mentioned and put it into your description of this podcast. So thank you very much, Faye, for being an amazing host and sharing some great wisdom about story, business story. She's an expert in business storytelling, and she can be contacted via her information in the description, which I'm going to put. And also all the links which she has mentioned about her book as well, which I think you are going to thoroughly enjoy it. So once again, this is the podcast called Chai with Sam Dosa. And I speak to my guest on heart-centered conversation. And today was an amazing guest all the way from Carolina, USA, Faye. And it was a great pleasure for having you on my podcast. Thank you, Faye.
Thank you, Sam. I really enjoyed talking to you.